things, bigger things. And often those things are well outside of where we think possible. They don't look like something that I could quite reach to. They're just out and beyond. And you sit in those moments and you go, oh, yeah, that'd be nice, but I'm not sure that I can do that. I'm not sure I can go that far. I'm not sure I can make that successful. That looks like a leap too far. And this morning, I want to read a passage where Jesus did that with the disciples, and I have a great deal of sympathy for the disciples, because as you read through the Gospels time and time again, Jesus continually puts them in place of testing their bounds of what is possible, of what is able to happen when you trust in me. How far it can go. And time again, those disciples are just so human and so much like us. And they go, hang on, that's not possible. I can't see how that could happen. Ah, that's how it can happen. That's how it can happen. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 9, verses 10. And this is where Jesus feeds the 5,000. And what I'd like you to do is, as I read through this passage, I'd actually like you just to reflect. I'd like you to think about if you were in the shoes of the disciples in this passage. If you were one of them, if you were Philip or John or Matthew, pick your favorite disciple, and just think, how would it be if you found yourself in this situation? If you were one of those disciples that had been following around with Jesus, you'd been traveling with him, you'd seen him do some miraculous things, you'd experience some amazing things. So as we go through this story and I read it, I'd like you just to reflect upon that and do your best to put yourself into their shoes. Imagine yourself to be one of these disciples. All right. So Luke 9, verse 10. And the disciples came back and they told Jesus about everything they had been doing. And he took them with him to the village of Bathsheba, where they could be alone. But a lot of people found out about where they were going, and they followed. And Jesus saw them coming, and he welcomed them, and he spoke to them about God's kingdom, and he healed everyone who was sick. Late in the afternoon, the 12 disciples came to Jesus and said, "Send the crowds away to the villages and the farms around here. They need to find a place to stay and something to eat. There's nothing in this place. It is like a desert." Jesus turned to them and he answered them, "You give them something to eat." But they replied, "We only have 5 small loaves of bread and 2 small fish. And if we're going to feed all of these people, we'll have to go out and buy food. And there are at least 5,000 men alone here in this crowd." Jesus said to his disciples, "Tell the people to sit in groups of 50. And they did this. And all of the people sat down. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he looked up towards heaven and he blessed the food. And then he broke the bread and the fish, and he handed them to the disciples to give to the people. And everyone ate all that they wanted, and what was left over filled 12 baskets." All right. So, to help us build into this story, to help us get the sense of what it would be to be one of these disciples, we need to get a bit more of the context of this as well. And so to help me do that, I'm going to drag Jane up here again. No, I'm not. I couldn't resist Jane. I wish I could see your face right now. Along the way. To help us do that, let's build in some of the context. So some of the things that were going on just before the story. Jesus had been, he's getting well into his ministry now. The disciples have been with him for quite a period of time. They have seen him calm raging storms. They have seen him bring someone back to life that was dead. They've seen people healed. They have heard him preach and teach in a way that no one before them has done. They've seen crowds of people flocking to him. They are in the front row seats of a revolution that's going on all around them. And they've built up to a place where Jesus has said, right, we're going next level, people. And he's split them into groups of two. He said, righto, go out to all the villages, to all the towns, and tell them the good news. Tell them what you've seen. Tell them what you've heard me teaching and preaching on. I give you power and authority to heal people, to teach, to preach, to be my ambassadors. So these 12 disciples had gone out and they'd traveled around and they've just gathered back again. So as you could imagine, they are full of stories. They are full of reports. They're full of excitement. They are full of, you won't believe what happened when we went to here or when we went to this place or what was there. And they are keen to come back and they want to tell Jesus and show him and report in and connect with each other and compare stories and everything else that's going on. So Jesus says, righto, let's gather. Let's go have some us time. Let's just have some time. Just me and the disciples. So I imagine if I was one of those, I was like, all right. We get to have Jesus just to ourselves for a change. Instead of all these people that all want a piece of him, we're going to go away and we're going to have some special one-on-one time. Now, Jesus has also got a bit going on. You see, there's some other news has just come through as well. Herod, who is the king of that land, has just literally on the whim had John the Baptist beheaded. John the Baptist had been in prison for quite a period of time because Herod didn't really like him. He didn't like the things that John had been saying. He'd been a bit critical of how this king was going about his life. And as kings are, they're a little bit sensitive to people being a bit critical. Herod had had a party. He had gotten a bit drunk. He wanted to impress his friends and his wife and said, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. And so she had engineered a situation, said, I want John the Baptist's head on a plate. So Herod had done it. Now, John the Baptist was a cousin to Jesus. John the Baptist was the man that baptized Jesus. John was probably the most only person that could genuinely relate and have some sense of what Jesus was doing and where he was heading. And Jesus had just heard the news that Herod, on a whim, had had his head cut off. So there's a bit going on in the context of this story. There's a third element as well, as the Passover is coming up soon. And that's the biggest Jewish festival, the biggest holiday, the biggest celebration. And what that means is there is flocks of people that are on the move. They're traveling because they're heading to Jerusalem to gather, to celebrate this big festival for the Jewish people. So there's a lot of people on the move. And these people catch wind that Jesus is in this little isolated town. And they want to go see, what is the story? What is the message? What is this man Jesus? What's the story about these miracles? What's the story about what he can do? Is he the Messiah? Is this for real? Let's go check it out. So Jesus has said to the disciples, right, let's go get some space. Let's get away from the people. Let's hear about your stories. Let's take some reflection time. There's a bit going on. And then all these people, this crowd, they gather, they come, they find, and they come and they meet with Jesus. And what does Jesus do? Well, Jesus is Jesus, so he says, welcome, come. And he says to his disciples, we're going to work. I know we're going to have some us time, but there are those people and they have need. It's time to go to work. We're back into it, boys. And they spend all day teaching and ministering and meeting the needs of others. And these disciples would have been running around. There are thousands of them. And anytime you put people together, there are needs. There are issues. There is stuff that's got to be done. And these disciples have been working and they've been beavering away. They've put aside the fact that they were going to get that quality time with Jesus, and now they've got all these people going on. And it's coming to the end of the day. And one of the disciples in particular, Philip, gathers with the other guys, and I don't know if there was a bit of a pre-chat and say, Philip, you're up, you go do it. But the disciples gather around Jesus and say, someone needs to talk to Jesus and point out the fact that there is a big need here. We've got thousands of people in an isolated place. There's very little here. And they're getting hungry. And the day's getting late. And they're only here because of us. So we've got a responsibility here. If we want to head off a riot, we need to act. We need to do something about it. And the only person that can do something about it is Jesus, is you. If you don't tell them to go, they ain't going anywhere. They're staying here. And we got to deal with it. And we've been dealing with it all day. And what was meant to be our time? So come on, Jesus. Tell them to go home. Tell them to go find food to take care of those needs. Because there's no way around this. Now, imagine being those disciples in that moment, in that little space, and Jesus turns to them, turns to you, and he says those words. You give them something to eat. You're right, there is a need here. You're absolutely right. We agree. And there's a responsibility, and we should meet this need. And Jesus says, you do it. You feed them. You give them something to eat. Can you imagine? I sit there and I put myself in those disciples' shoes, and I sit there and I try to be Philip in that moment. And I go, oh, Jesus. Jesus, Son of God, me. Turn the water into wine, me. You remember, you healed that guy, you raised someone from the dead, and you want me to do something about it. Oh, there is nothing here. I don't have anything. Even if I had enough money, which would be a year's wages, by the way, Jesus, and if you remember rightly, we're not doing a lot of work at the moment because we've been just hanging out with you along the way, but even if we did, there's nowhere even to buy it from. This is utterly impossible. I am tired. It has been a big day. I have been faithful. I have done everything I can. This is not fair. And then as we progress through the story, we learn that there is this boy. And presumably he had a thoughtful mother, because if it was in my household, I would have packed them off and just remembered it at about 5 o'clock that we didn't have any food along the way. And my wife would say, why didn't you think of that? So presumably I'm thinking of a thoughtful mum. And that mum gave him a lunch. And that boy somehow came to the attention of those disciples, and somewhere in there he had the audacity to say, I've got this. You're welcome to this. I'm willing to give this up. This is what I have. If I had some more, I'd probably give that as well, but this is what I got. So you're welcome to it. And then Jesus took that tiny little offering and he turned it into something that met all of the need. All that was there. And those poor old disciples were put in a position again, going, ah, is that what you meant when you said Son of God? Oh, right, okay, again. And I can't help but think that if I was there, I would be much like those disciples. And I can't help but think that they were put in these positions time and time again to be able to give us an example now. Years and years later, the message echoes through those generations in there. Because, you see, God so often places us in situations where we see need. Big needs. We live in a world that's struggling with so many things, and whether it's mental health or poverty issues or prisons or isolation or people being lost, whatever that is, it's huge. It's big. It's all around us. It's constant. And as much as we try to sometimes fend off seeing those needs, the reality, they're there. They're very present. They're very real. And God keeps coming to us and saying, you be the answer. You fix it. You give them something to eat. You do it. And so one of the key questions that I have this morning is why did Jesus do that? You see, he knew his disciples. He knew that they didn't have any food. They didn't have any magic supply. He knew all that information. He wasn't just blindly aware. And we actually learn about that in John chapter 6. You see, John also wrote about the same story, and he added in another little bit there. John chapter 6, verse 6, and he said this to test Philip, since he already knew what he was going to do. When he asked him, where will we get enough food to feed all of these people? And Philip answered, don't you know, it take almost a year's wages just to buy only a little bread for each of these people. And Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the disciples, and he spoke up and said, well, there is this little boy who has 5 small loaves of barley bread and 2 fish. But what good is that amongst all of these people? You see, if you spend time with God, if you hang out with him, if you come into his church, if you read his word, if you spend time in prayer and meditation, if you're giving consideration to that, if you are genuinely seeking out his will in your life, then I will come and tell you that he will put you in places where there will be challenges and issues and needs that will be far and beyond what you have, that are bigger than what you can do. And he will come to you and say, you do it. Now, the good news in there is that God also knows that you can't do it. You are not the answer. And that's quite a comfort in a lot of ways. But what he is asking and seeking to do and test in that moment is, will you trust me? Will you step out? Will you be part of that answer? Will you offer what you have? Will you be confronted by the situations like the disciples and go, too big, too much, too hard, can't do it, can't see the end game, can't see success, I could get exposed here, I could get left hanging, I can't see the way out? Or will you be like the little boy who, in his simplicity, simply looked at what he had rather than the size of the problem? He said, I've got this and I'm prepared to offer it to you, to give it over to you. And God, you take that and you be the answer. And in doing so, what that little boy did was created the space for which Jesus could then work a miracle. Because God has come to us and said, you are my agents of change. If you do not step out, if you do not move, if you don't act on these, then I'll wait. So that is the challenge for us. And that's the challenge I come and I guess I remind you here at Island Baptist. Because there are lots of ways in which we can respond to this. And as you would have heard me say each time I've come here with my Pathway hat on, one of those could be partnering with an organization like Pathway or with us at Te Whare e Where. And I'd come to you and say, I would love you all to come and join and be a part of the work that we're doing and be a part of our whānau. Whether it's through Upstream or a packet of seeds or whatever other grand scheme and plan and dream, which I'd love to chew your ear off about. But the reality is that you don't need to come and be a part of any trust or wherever that is. God has placed you in places, whether they're in your workplace, in your schools, in your communities, in your homes, in your streets, wherever that may be, and given you skills and life experiences which you can draw from that fill up your little lunchbox, which you carry, which you have. And he will place you into situations where there are needs that are beyond what you think are sustainable and meet, and that you could do and address. And he will ask the question simply to give you the opportunity to respond, to test and to strengthen your faith. So, where do we go from here? Well, this isn't so much about today, but it's about tomorrow and next week and the weeks and the months to come. It is about when you see the next guy that's sitting on a street or wherever that may be, is how will we respond? How will we respond? Will we be like those of the disciples that become overwhelmed by the size of the need, or that of the little boy who simply looked at what he had and said, I'm prepared to offer that. God, it is your problem what you may do with that and where it goes. I will create the space in which miracles can then happen and occur. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, just like your disciples that traveled with you, that lived with you, we struggle to remember who we are partnering with. And we get overwhelmed so easily by how much need there is, how big the world is, and our own place in it. Lord, help us to be brave to pray, to open our eyes to those needs, and to be prepared to step into them, to step into the challenges. Lord, help us to be faithful in